Good morning. Today is Tuesday, June the 2nd. Joining us this morning out of the CPA hut, Bill McCauley.
Hi, Brian. How are you this morning?
Good. How's the prolonged hibernation season coming along for the McCauley clan?
It's been a wild year from what we do to everything else. So, it's dangerous to sit around and tell yourself that you're experiencing strange things in your world, because we're all experiencing strange things in our worlds.
That's so. Right. Inside and outside the walls. Winston, why do we say it?
All right, we've got Rack One's Brains or Ragtime.
I'm thinking racking one's brains goes back to the Middle Ages in the dungeons and the torture, where they would put somebody on the rack. So it was an attempt to make someone smarter.
I have a theory.
Okay.
But it will get me in trouble, so I'm going to hold it to myself.
Oh, the home front?
It has to do with racks and shopping, but that's as far as I'm going.
Brian gets this one. As used here, rack means to stretch or strain by force, as a person is stretched on the rack or wheel, and that is a rather vivid metaphorical description of the process of remembering.
Oh, my shot in the dark almost hit something there.
Yeah.
Other than the ground.
Wasn't completely errant.
No, this could be a good day.
Yeah. So should we just stop?
Yeah. Time to go back home. Oh, gee.
So how does early in the morning?
Yeah. It's all downhill from here. How is your day, your typical day this time of the year, this year, compared to last year?
Well, yeah, our days are different because, like most people, although we didn't discontinue operations when things kind of changed for everybody in March, we continued, but we hunkered down to such a significant degree that we had very limited access to the front of our building, and we ceased effectively doing any interviews, face-to-faces, and things of that nature. And so normally, in a normal year, obviously that would have been very, very different. Plus, obviously, from the standpoint that April 15th was less meaningful this year, which normally would be, which is a huge target date for us. This year, it was April 15th. We all looked at each other, shrugged our shoulders, and walked out the door. But in a normal year, it's a frantic thing where we're powering the last bits of everything to get done, which now that's going to be July 15th, unless that gets extended. So normally after tax season, we would have... we would be doing catch-up work, which we do each year, to catch up in the areas and things that were deferred until we were outside the busy season. Some of that stuff we actually got to take on during the busy season this year, because we've had clients recognize that they don't have to file until July 15th and have waited to get their information. And so we did actually some of the payroll tax filings and some of the reports that we file with the county for the property tax, personal property tax reports that we help our clients with. Some of that stuff was done earlier. But the strange part is normally we're still meeting with clients, talking about new issues. And for the most part, we haven't been doing that. We have applied and have been granted a permission to reopen. And so we're now having some meetings, but clients, have to come in the door with masks on, and we have to meet either and generally wear a mask while we're having those meetings. So it's just a different world.
The process of doing that filing, we've heard from a number of buddies that it's a piece of cake. I know when Ange was doing it, and we've got, I don't think we have had somebody other than non-staff here 3 months, 2.5 months, something like that. Took hours to do. What has been your impression with that process? Are most businesses able to get through it once they kind of figure out the up and down and the left and right and the government terminology?
Yeah, I think, now granted, let's just carve out, as an example, restaurants. That's a whole nother realm. But let's talk about offices and things like that. Generally, my perspective is that the local governing officials have done a nice job building a system that is relatively easy to use to go through the process. I didn't do it for our office. We had two of my partners did it and went through and took a window of time. I believe it was about an hour and change. Went through and completed the process. We got one bit of feedback from from our initial filing that came back, I think the same day or within a day or two, and then we made one change to what our plan was, and it was approved. So for us, it was a very slick process, and seemed to be pretty well managed from the governmental side. So that's kind of a applause to those who put that system together, because it was for us useful. That then again, our challenges are not the same as other people who have, as an example, restaurants and other people who have much more complex situations to consider how they can serve and have people come in and getting through the hurdles of opening. And I think those folks are having a little more challenge just because of the complexities involved.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, if you guys see 20 people in a day, it's probably a busy day. If we see 20 people a day, something's on fire because the fire guys have come out here. But for a restaurant, you know, they're seeing hundreds of people a day. The magnitude is got to be significantly different.
Yeah, and if you think about restaurants, they're designed to achieve economies of scale. You know, a busy restaurant can be a profitable restaurant because the tables are turning and they're doing a lot of commerce. So if you are a smaller, I think we can all probably imagine a restaurant that's not, doesn't have a really big dining area, and that there are places in town you go into and you feel like, hey, it's pretty tight in here. Well, imagine trying to keep 6-foot distances between tables and anyway, and understanding what you're going to do for people who come in the door and what you're going to require from them. It's extraordinarily complicated, you know, from the standpoint of normal business operations, which is come on in, sit down, what can we get you?
Right, right. Well, and then you've got the whole handling process too on the backside. So
yeah, exactly.
Nothing. I mean,
it's you've got face to face service within a tight window. You've got, there's questions about okay, can the servers bring out plates, and then different people actually have to do the busing. Anyway, there's all these other implications that I know that people are going through trying to figure out how do we do that.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, lots of things to talk about that are related to some of the challenges that we've had in the last little bit. But the extended tax season in and of itself, is that something that is providing relief? Is it just prolonging the process? Is it allowing a refocusing on maybe the things to deal with today? What do you think the upshot of that additional 3 months is going to be?
I think it's doing a little bit of all of those things, really, Brian. I mean, it's allowing people more time who are impacted from a standpoint of it's been hard to be at work and get their staff going on things, so it allows people more time to accumulate information. It's allowing people more time to have to pay, and that's a big deal from the standpoint. But that's a little concerning in and of itself. Something we may want to circle back to. But
right.
Keep in mind, a lot of things that would have already been due, or would have been, you know, the second quarter estimated tax payments are due June 15th. They're not, you know, everything's been pushed out to July 15th, which that date could get moved again. But what that means is the more it means that things haven't had to be paid before, but now more is going to have to be paid when you get to that date. And so, there's a lot of challenge that's associated with that. It's also kind of allowing people, time to get their breath and focus on other things instead of being focused on some tax compliance and other issues. So, I think it touches on a lot of areas for what's been done. Big open question to me is July 15th it, or are they going to turn around and say, well, we're not, we're going to move it out to the extended due date of October 15th. I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know if anybody really knows. I mean, I've heard people conjecturing that they're going to move the dates again. We're not really operating on that assumption, because that's kind of a dangerous assumption to make.
Well, as you alluded to, it's not as if it's being forgiven. It's now just a double payment time, or a triple payment if it's out into October. Well, that's right. That's not going to be good, if you want to, float on hope right now. But if you're looking at something like that, it has a chance to choke the economy off a second time and to put people into a real precarious personal financial situation.
So keep in mind that for some people, you got different kinds of people. Some people are not being as economically impacted by what's going on as others.
Sure.
So as an example, for some people who might, let's take somebody and say, oh, this person's retired. They've got a pension from the state of California. They're getting some Social Security. They've got some money they've invested, which maybe they don't get quite as much money on their income. And maybe they've got a couple other income sources, but really nothing's changing. Well, those folks don't really need the deferral associated with moving the first payment from April 15th out to July 15th, and the second payment, which is due June 15th, out to July 15th, plus anything they might have owed for last year, again, moved out to July 15th. Those folks, in a lot of cases, have filed their returns and paid their taxes because they just want to be on the – they just want to clear up the – they don't want to have a burgeoning liability sitting there, so they just assume get things paid. On the other hand, you've got people whose businesses are severely impacted. Their profitability is going to be significantly down. So estimated taxes that you pay during 2020, assuming that that's going to represent your 2020 tax liability, those payments may be going down anyway just because some of those businesses are not – a lot of the businesses aren't going to be as profitable as they were.
But the estimated is based on the rearview mirror rather than through the front windshield, right?
Right. Generally, sometimes we have to base estimated taxes on. Generally, we base it on here's what you had last year. You pay either 100 or 110% of last year's tax, depending on what your prior year income was, and off you go. And that's for most people, not everybody. But this year, it's going to be very different. And I think we're probably going to spend more time as we get closer to July 15th, helping people figure out how much should I pay, because right now, if we finish their return in February or March. And maybe they haven't made payments yet, but we just use kind of safe harbor type calculations to say, here's what we think your estimated taxes should be. People may be looking, going, my situation's changed now. And they may want some help trying to figure out how much should I pay.
Now, for folks that haven't experienced it before, what about the unemployment checks? What about the, obviously, no one has experienced the stimulus checks, things of that nature that are, well, they really didn't exist in a lot of people's lives until the last 4 or 5 months. How does that change things?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously people's situations are really different because unemployment benefits are taxable for federal tax purposes. So, but not for California. California doesn't tax unemployment benefits. So people who are on unemployment, if they're not having federal tax withheld from their unemployment, that could be an issue when they get to the end of the year. Right now, typically an unemployment is available for 39 weeks, although we've seen situations in the past where we've been in economic times where the benefits have been extended. And this time, people are getting, in many cases, $600 more per week as kind of a COVID supplement to the unemployment benefits. Some of those folks may not even want to come back to work when their employer says, hey, I've got a job for you, because they're doing better on unemployment. So it's going to be a really interesting – everybody's situation is going to be very, very different because And some of those differences are going to be kind of magnified due to, you know, the things that are changing due to COVID-related issues. So,
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with noted CPA Bill McCauley. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Billy, one of the things that we often will talk about, tail end of second quarter, third quarter is planning. Now, obviously, there's an awful lot of variables included in this one that just make this so unique that things might, you know, planning might be a theoretical exercise at this point. But let's also lob in top of it, or on top of it, rather, the stock market gyrations and the businesses that are either restructuring their debt or they're shutting their doors. I mean, there's a lot of things like that that have happened, and I would presume a lot of things that are going to happen based on the next couple of months. How can an individual, how can a business kind of hedge to the future, into the wind, or I guess with the wind at their back rather than into the wind?
It's a challenging time. We just, you know, there's so much we don't know in terms of, you know, how long is, you know, are we going to be in the mode we're in right now? I know we're reopening. It's a slow and challenging process, you know, and what happens if we get to November and there's a, you know, there's a new version of this thing, or it gets new vigor. You know, there's so many questions that make it really puts, in my mind, businesses in particular and people and all of us as individuals, we really need to think about our dry powder. We really need to think what are the nuts we have stored up for winter, if you will, that will help us through more challenge. And right now, so many businesses have used up a lot of their dry powder just trying to keep people employed and trying to work through a time where they're providing something to their customers, but maybe it's not very profitable or not profitable at all, or maybe they can't open at all and they're just bleeding money to some degree. So all those things, all the uncertainty on one hand, makes, you know, the decisions we make for being able to operate into the future a lot more challenging. Because if we knew, hey, this thing's going to be gone, we're going to have a vaccine, or we're going to have changes that mean that this thing's going to morph into something that's less dangerous, and we're going to move on, or we're going to have, you know, some kind of herd response to it. You know, there's all these things we just don't know, and yet people are trying to make decisions personally based upon lower income in a lot of cases, businesses based on lower income, less activity, and uncertainty. It really makes it hard for people to say, hey, I'm going to, you know, I've got my raft at the edge of the river and I'm ready to shove off into the current. You know, I think people are going to be cautious, and I think it's going to probably make this a little bit, in some cases, particularly a little slower recovery than you might otherwise have.
So if one hasn't filed or is playing the extension game, just kind of wait and see if it's going to get pumped back again, start making make a payment if you can. The one thing I've heard consistently is be in as strong a cash position as you can. Well, that doesn't imply paying off your tax indebtedness at this point. Wait. But on the other hand, if you wait and those resources get sucked up by something else that's unexpected, now you're really in trouble.
Yeah, it's a problem. I mean, I think for most of us, we should be storing away money to pay any tax liability we have from any residual 2019 tax liability. That's not going to go away. For a lot of people, their 2020 income is going to be significantly reduced because of the impacts of what we've had to do to get through this health crisis. And so if it's me, my priority is going to be on the 2019, any 2019 tax liability that you have, and making sure you stored up those dollars, because they're either going to be due July 15th or on some extended timeline down the road. And what we don't know is what the governmental response is going to be to some of this. Are they going to say, are we going to get to whatever date where everybody's going to have to pay up, and then when people can't, you know, what's going to be the government's attitude towards collection, and how, you know, the IRS only has so many collection people. You know, I mean, that's not an unlimited staff on their end. And so, you know, again, questions abound. But I think people definitely want to try to save the money that is necessary to get them out of 2019, and hopefully be saving enough money to pay whatever their 2020 tax is going to be. For people whose income is not really impacted yet by all this, then it should be similar to what it was in 2019 for 2020. You better be setting aside some money, or begin making your estimated tax payments, or however you pay your tax liability. But it's a challenge, Brian. I wish there was easy answers. It doesn't feel like there is.
Well, and even if you're right, you don't know that you're right, because things are changing so much so quickly. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, so if we don't know yet what the government's reaction is going to be, and we're obviously uncertain, you know, is our business, is our employment status, is there going to be consistency? Are we going to have adjustments? What's going on? Question mark, question mark, question mark. One side, we're saying pay your bills so you don't have these debts occurring or reoccurring, or at least generating finances or financial charges. And on the other side, we're saying hold on to it as long as you can. What's a guy or gal supposed to do here?
Well, they're going to have to balance all the various barking dogs that they've got coming at them. I think that trying to keep some dry powder is really important, so people are going to have to prioritize what obligations they have, and try to, in some cases, there's going to be negotiation about what can I do, how can we do this, and do people have some wiggle room? But the problem is, if you're going to one of your vendors in your business saying, hey, we need some wiggle room, well, that vendor might be hurting too. So, you know, that's nice to say, well, gee, we need some help here because things are hard for us. Well, you know, things are hard everywhere. And so,
yeah, it goes up the chain.
Right. So I think people are going to have to work together. There's going to be a lot of talking, going to be a lot of trying to figure out what's going to work best in a really challenging situation. I think we all need to be open to trying to, I mean, you know, as trite as it sounds, I mean, this is something that we all face together. And I don't mean we're all in the same boat, because we're all in different boats, but we're all going down the same path. Well, you don't go down a path in a boat. We're down the same so we're all going in the same direction. But we're doing it at a little different speeds, and other people, you know, some people have better boats than others. And so, but they're all, it's all choppy water. And so we're going to have to work together and prioritizing to say, hey, I need to take care of this liability or that liability. Those are all interesting questions, and I think people are going to have to do the best they can.
Now, there was something I read last night that was talking about, this is also the season of great opportunity. If one is in a position where they do have flexibility, that there are going to be some amazing opportunities that are already starting to kind of show themselves, whether it's in the stock market or sales, you know, at the retailer level, that there are things that are out there that really could kind of advance your situation, so to speak.
Indeed, I think there are going to be opportunities, and people are going to, there's going to be opportunities to purchase things that might be, businesses might be willing to sell things at a lower price than they were before. So there may be opportunities for purchase discounts that might not have been available. So if somebody's looking to buy a car, this might be a good time because, car dealers might be hurting a little bit, might be looking for, might be willing to concede on price a little more than they would if things were going really great. So,
well, the national financing, what is it, 0% for 84 months?
Yeah, it depends.
I mean, who's heard of that?
I think it depends on what company you're looking at. But yeah, I think most of them are going to be doing what they can to try to incentivize purchasing of vehicles in particular. But I mean, that's just one of many areas that the one segment that seems to really have thrived is the home improvement segment.
Yes.
I've had reason where I've had to be in Medford for a business purpose and you can't believe the traffic at Lowe's and Home Depot. It's just the parking lots are jammed.
Well, real estate sales also, I'm hearing, are continuing to go strong throughout the country as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens right now. If you were trying to buy a house, that's kind of an interesting deal. I don't know how that segment's working. For residential real estate, can they show properties or do you have to do that online? I mean, I don't know how all that works, but I'm sure other people do. And somebody who's there's probably a realtor's going, that Macaulay's such an idiot. Why can't he help us by saying what our situation is? But I know everybody's trying to do their best to serve their customers and do what they can for their businesses. So
yeah,
it's an interesting time.
Well, and I'm really hoping that some of those phrases that we've been hearing fade into the sunset, too. Well, that's when we'll know that we're done. Thanks for coming by, buddy.
All right, Brian. Take care.
Keep hanging in there. See everybody tomorrow.